This is the last discourse in my series on thoughts on Ezra and Nehemiah. I know I've finished the last chapter of Nehemiah in these thoughts, but I want just to take one last look over the two books, Ezra and Nehemiah, if you like, a recap. Now, it's thoughts on Ezra and Nehemiah, so you could say this discourse is jottings or thoughts on thoughts. But I hope it will have some value, and it will carry some weight as we just think back of what we've learned over these weeks looking at Ezra and Nehemiah. I want to reinforce something. These are just jottings. You might have your own, I'm sure you will, impressions to take with you. These are just some of the things that occur to me. Let me just put down what I can give to you. The first thing I remember about these Jews in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, their return from Babylon after captivity, those 70 years of disaster, for punishment for their sins, breaking the covenant. Well, I've been impressed with their good intentions. They were a well-meaning people. I must say that they have shown a fine spirit. They've raised certain issues with these leaders, Ezra and Nehemiah. They've wanted reform. They've worked. They've had their difficulties, and they've had their setbacks, and they've had their sins, too. They've failed and stumbled and fallen. But on the whole, I think I've seen a people that are well-meaning, full of good intentions. But alas, they're prone to fall and prone to wander. Prone to let things slip. So, I've seen that in these people. Good intentions are not enough. And that's the second point now. There's been a weakness of resolve. That they wanted to do well. They wanted the temple. They wanted the priesthood and the Levites. They wanted the singers and the festivals. That they wanted it. But they have been weak in their performance, in their resolve, in their stickability. When Nehemiah's gone back to Babylon, to Persia, then they've drifted. The Sabbath has gone to pieces. The temple courts have been let open to pagans and so on. And all sorts of things have happened. They've drifted. So they've been well-meaning, but weak. I'm speaking to myself, my brother and sister. Am I speaking to you? I've seen also in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, I've seen the need that God meets of raising up powerful, discerning preachers, people of grip and authority, people who are willing to be alone, loners, to take a lead, to take a hard decisions here and there. Think of some of the things that these men, Ezra and Nehemiah, have had to preach. Think of the things they've had to raise. Think of the sins they've had to rebuke. Think of the counsel they've had to give. And if you go to the books of Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi, if you look at those books and see these prophets too, you see them again in the same vain. Now, it's all very well having nice ideas about these people and sentimental view of them, but these are lonely tasks and difficult tasks. And we need people, men of this caliber, not to butter up our good intentions and to make us feel good about ourselves, but to preach the word of God. And these men, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Malachi, Zechariah, they've called the people back to the covenant and to obedience to God. And we need powerful preachers in our day. I've said again and again, may God give us Nehemiah. May he give us men like Haggai and Malachi and Zechariah. May he give us men like Ezra. We need them. Not men in themselves, but God using these men. And coupled with that is not just the preachers. These men have shown what elders must do in the ecclesia. What do I mean? These men have been men of action. Look at what Ezra did with the marriages. Look at what Nehemiah did about the Sabbath and so on. Look at the steps they took. Look at the difficulties they faced. Look at the problems. Look at the loneliness of their stance. The grip and the grit that they showed. We need this kind of leadership. You know, leadership is not about kudos. Oh, I'm pastor so-and-so, and I'm... whatever titles they take, it's abomination to me, all of it. But it's not the kudos of it, it's the responsibility of it. And these men have stepped up to the plate. They've taken hold of Judah, and they have performed as well as promised. Again, a great principle that's come over and over again through these two books is this. The original sin of Israel and Judah really was breaking down the separation, going to the pagans, and that's really idolatry. Not to mince words, that's idolatry. They've forsaken God, they've forsaken his word, and they've gone to the pagans. And again and again and again, illustrated by the marriage, by the Sabbath, by the walls, by the gates, what has been the burden of Ezra and Nehemiah? Be separate. And you've heard me say it again and again. You might say, ah, well, I've got a bee in my bonnet. The bee is in the bonnet of the Bible. It's in Ezra and Nehemiah. It's not in my bonnet. I've been just declaring what's there. And the message has come over to me again and again and again is, Israel, Judah must be separate. And the ecclesia must be separate. 2 Corinthians 6. One final point. The cure is always more painful than prevention. Think of what it must have been like to put those marriages right, the Sabbath right, those relationships right. Think of the cost, the agony of it all. Well, sin casts shadows, and there are consequences. Oh, I know the blood of Christ washes from sin. Sure, yeah. But it's best not to sin, my friend. It's best if the church doesn't. Of course it can be reformed. God, in his mercy, can do wonders. But the cure is pretty painful. May God give us wisdom here. Remember 1 Corinthians 10? These things, Old Testament, written for our learning. Israel, examples to us in the New Covenant. Romans 15, 2 Timothy 3. These things declare to us what we should be doing. Well, these are the lessons I want to leave with you. Well-meaning is not enough. Weakness of resolve is there. The need for powerful preachers. The need for strong eldership. Separation from the world. And remember, prevention is better than cure. Cure is always more painful than prevention. May God bless the books of Ezra and Nehemiah to us now. And may the fruits of it be found in our lives. For Christ's sake. Amen.